Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. This is the first in a series of three podcasts about using concrete for tall buildings. Concrete is among the oldest of building materials, but it has changed radically over past millennia, and so have its applications. In this conversation, we'll discuss the materials, history, and science of concrete with Surendra Shah, who is Professor Emeritus in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. Professor Shah was honored as a member of the National Academy of Engineering. Sura, I'm really glad to talk to you this morning. Let me start you out with a question central to what you've been doing for many years.
Okay.
Tell us about the nature and the source of concrete as a material, and a little of the history, if you want to share that with us.
Yes. Well, there are three main items, cement, which is made with limestone and clay in a rotary kiln where the temperatures are quite high, about 1200 degrees Celsius, and then produces, after grinding, what we call Portland cement. When you add water to it, the reaction is hydration, and it solidifies with time because of the chemical reaction. Then, in addition to that, we also add stone particles, sand and coarse aggregate that really occupies bulk of concrete, and cement binds that together. And that's the basic concrete. You correctly said in the introduction that although it's one of the oldest material, and some kind of cementitious reactions even was used by Roman. However, in the last, I would say, maybe 20, 30 years especially, there's been a rapid change. One indication of the change is how strong the material is. And in concrete, it's measured with its compressive strength. When you compress it, how much it can withstand. And the normal concrete that has been used, called vanilla concrete, has a compressive strength of about 4,000 psi. But because of our knowledge, increased knowledge, increased research and development, we can now make concrete which is just about 10 times as strong with not really a significant increase in cost. And this, people call it high-strength concrete. And that has been especially important in tall buildings. And actually, the high-strength concrete development for tall building started in Chicago. I had organized the first high-strength concrete workshop in 1970. And now all the super tall buildings in the world, let's say, you know, very tall buildings, 600 meter and taller, are made with concrete rather than steel as a structural material. And this is because we can make concrete very strong, so the footprint is small, but also we can pump it. And that really helps quite a bit in speed and cost. So we can pump concrete now almost up to a kilometer high or in a lengthwise. So those true development, the ability to pump like water and also increase strength, has really changed the high-rise and super-tall building methods of construction.
So are you saying that the high-strength concrete can go up as strong as 40,000 PSI?
Yes, essentially, without substantially changing what we know, I mean, without substantially changing the cost. Currently, I would say what is used in tall building is about, I would say, up to about 20,000 PSI. So five times strong is quite possible in tall buildings. Now, in very, very specialized applications, which is still more in a very developing application stage, and people call it ultra-high strength concrete, and that's about, I would say, maybe approaching 30,000 PSI.
So how does the mix change? How does the product itself change that leads to the change in strength?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So there are two developments which are key to this very strong concrete. One is that when you make concrete, you need water for hydration, chemical reaction, but you don't really that much water. But because you want concrete to be fluid, you add much more water, which makes concrete weak. But now with so-called surfactant or so-called superplasticizer, you can make concrete very fluid with as little water as you need. So that one development. And second is, in order to use the concept of particle packing, we use ultra fine particles. For example, one is commonly used, it's called a silica fume, which is a submicron sized particle. So they fill in the gaps between the cement particles. So those two are the key development for making strong concrete.
So if we were to build a very tall building, does this present a challenge in sourcing the concrete? For example, does every ready-mix supplier have the capability to do this, or do you need to go to specialized suppliers?
No, for example, the latest example in Chicago of a tall concrete building is Trump Tower. And Trump Tower used this, what we call self-consolidated concrete, so it can be pumped like water. And it had about, I would say, 15,000-16,000 PSI. And the local ready-mix company, certainly the large one, used to be Prairie, and now they've changed the name, ready-mix and others, they can do it. So you don't need, the materials are there, the surfactant and superplasticizers, which are also available. So it's very easy. I mean, it's relatively easy to make it.
And that doesn't change the cost radically?
Let's say the addition of this superplasticizer certainly increases the cost. And it may increase the cost as far as the material cost as much as 50 to even double. But when you consider the total cost of the structure, the ease of constructing, reducing the size of the structural members, reducing the congestion and the issues with constructability, it's more than compensates. It is also true that this high-strength concrete tends to be dense, so it has less porosity. So it also means it lasts longer as far as it not probably as applicable to tall buildings, but let's say to bridges, which are subjected to more punishing environment, this high-strength concrete can also prolong the life of concrete.
So that seems really important. It changes the durability of the product.
Exactly.
And that presumably contributes to that offsets any increase, some of the increase in costs.
Yes, you put it correctly.
So one of the characteristics of concrete that's particularly different than steel is that when it comes to the job site and you put it in the form, place it in a form, it's a slurry. It takes a while for it to set up and the strength changes. So what does that relationship look like? How long does it take to build full strength?
Yeah, that's a good point. That this is one of the challenges with concrete construction, that it sets on site unless you are prefabricated concrete members, but generally you cast in place and it sets in site. It takes time to set, and depending upon the conditions of the environment, that is an issue. Nowadays, using high-strength concrete, it is possible to develop strength quite rapidly. So let's say vanilla concrete has 4,000 PSI after a month. High-strength concrete can have the same strength after one day. And that helps removing the forms early. That also helps as far as the constructability.
So that eliminates or reduces the barrier to the rate of construction. You can move up in the building more quickly.
Yeah, reduces the barrier is the right thing. I think the constructability is still a challenge, especially when you consider in a developing countries, the labor force may not be always as skilled as you would like to be. And on-site construction is certainly a challenge. On the other hand, the one of the advantages is that you can shape it on-site depending upon the formwork, and that also of why architects often like the facade made out of concrete.
I want to go back to a point that you made earlier about the fact that you can pump this concrete. So is there a simple relationship between the strength and the ability to pump it, the viscosity, or do you have to adjust viscosity when you're pumping to great heights?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Viscosity and strength are not obviously one-to-one related. And so it's only very recently people have been paying attention to how to modify viscosity, or in general we call that rheological property. There are many issues involved. And as you probably know, that at Northwestern we have done quite a bit of work on understanding and how you can manipulate rheology so that it flows like water. But on the other hand, it sets, once you stop pumping, it sets relatively fast, and those are the issues which are separately related to strength.
So one of the things that we should learn from this is there's a serious material science behind the concrete that we see going on into buildings, particularly the tallest buildings, that's developed over the years that allows you to tune the properties to what you need at the job site.
That's correct. And material science has played a key role in understanding how to manipulate the fluid, how to manipulate the final microstructure so that material is strong and durable. And now, last few years, we have been learning how to manipulate nanostructure of cement. So that is really very one of the new exciting areas where we can change the properties of concrete.
So is that what we have to look forward to? Do you see continued development in the material science of concrete in the decades to come?
There are several issues, but one issue which is predominant in the new development is how to make concrete more sustainable. Especially in the developing countries, more and more concrete will be needed. In China alone, last year, the cement consumption was something like 4 billion tons. And cement production the production of cement also produces CO2. So people have been working how to reduce that and how to make concrete construction sustainable. And certainly material science plays a key role using supplementary materials, waste materials, and using nanotechnology. So you use less cement, but not necessarily more, less concrete.
Very interesting and a promising future ahead of us as we look to the development of concrete and its use in construction. Professor Shaw, it's a great pleasure to talk to you. I really appreciate your giving us these insights into this interesting and historic material.
Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.